Good morning, or should I say afternoon, to those of us joining us from the East Coast. This is Susan Hedstrom, the Executive Director for FWR, and joining me today to talk about identifying and treating mental health issues in PWS is Lauren Schwartz-Roth, a clinical psychologist and mom to young adult with PWS. Lauren, how are you doing?
Well, we're doing okay there. I want to say hi to everybody from Seattle. And for us, it's day 21 of shelter in place, and being stuck inside is making most people I know a bit stir crazy. But I've been thinking a lot in particular about our PWS community and how this is affecting them, especially our loved ones with Prader-Willi syndrome. So that's why Susan and I thought it would be great to talk today a bit about this and about how mental health issues can become prominent for some people with Prader-Willi syndrome, especially in response to stressful life events. So it seems especially important to talk about mental health issues now, given the current unprecedented events in the world related to COVID-19. This is no doubt putting extra stress on us parents, as well as people with Prader-Willi syndrome, with activities and routines being severely disrupted, not to mention the increased anxiety and fear that many have related to the virus. There's the potential to see greater mental health challenges and struggles in our loved ones with Prader-Willi syndrome.
So many people with PWS struggle with behavior challenges and can suffer from serious mental health issues, especially in their teens and young adult years. Previous research has shown that people with PWS are at increased risk for specific mental health challenges, including depression, bipolar disorder, and psychotic symptoms. Given that stress can increase the risk of mental illness in our loved ones with PWS, we would like to share with you today a few signs of what to look for if you're concerned about mental health in your loved one, as well as what you can do if you see concerning behaviors.
So we've heard a lot from our community about concerns about mental health issues and Prader-Willi syndrome. So last year, FPWR set out to create a Prader-Willi syndrome mental health guidebook. While we're not complete with this project yet, we wanted to share with you today some important information that we've collected in regards to identifying and treating mental health issues in Prader-Willi syndrome. The full mental health guidebook will be released later this year. So think of this today as sort of a sneak peek, highlighting some of the key issues regarding what to look for and when to get help for your child with Prader-Willi syndrome, particularly in regards to serious mental health issues.
I will add that everything we share in today's podcast will also be available on our blog at fwr.org. Additionally, a single page handout describing signs of serious mental health issues, along with steps for treatment and special considerations, can be downloaded from our website and printed for easy reference after the podcast.
Yeah, so make sure that you take a look at that after the podcast today. So to start, we conducted a qualitative research study that included extensive interviews with parent caregivers, as well as mental health expert professionals who have worked extensively with individuals with Prader-Willi syndrome. And these experts included psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, and PWS behavior crisis team members. And we use these interviews to provide you with some common signs and symptoms of mental health issues, as well as considerations for treatment. So the first thing I want to talk about is what changes should you look for in your loved one. You're probably already well aware of your loved one's typical, or what we would call, baseline behaviors. When we get concerned about mental health issues, what we're looking for are changes in our child's or loved one's pattern of usual behavior. And we're looking for changes that continue for a period of time. So this isn't just a day or two, but for a week or longer. And the other thing to keep in mind is this would be outside the context of physical illness. As many parents can attest, our kids can have some behavioral changes if they've got a cold or the flu. So that's obviously the exception. So this would be looking at changes outside of that context. We want to look for changes in our loved ones with Prader-Willi syndrome from their usual behaviors. And this would be mostly focused on the areas of eating behaviors, sleep, behavioral challenges, as well as grooming. So let me talk about eating first. Many of us parents, I would probably say all parents and caregivers of people with Prader-Willi syndrome, are very attuned to our child eating behaviors. So this would look like a change from the baseline, and this might be our loved ones showing less interest in food or consuming less food than usual. These could be an indicator of a mental health issue, especially if they persist for a period of time. For many of us, if our loved one with Prader-Willi has less interest in food, we might feel that it is a reason to celebrate. And it could be in particular situations, but combined with some of the other changes and behaviors that I'm going to talk about, it could also be a red flag regarding mental health issues. Of course, keep in mind if your child is involved in a treatment study or taking a new medication or supplement that might affect appetite, you have to take that into consideration.
So most of our loved ones are pretty quick to come to the dinner table when it's time for a meal. If we have to start calling our loved ones to meals, or if our child wants to delay meals, would this be a sign of a mental health issue?
I think it could be, again, if it persists over a period of time, and you may find that your loved one is saying, I'll eat later, or they might wander off and not finish their meal. If your child is showing these behaviors for more than a week and they aren't physically ill, then this is a reason to pay attention. Especially if you had a kid who, or a loved one who, you know, kind of finished every morsel of food on their plate, and now they're leaving food on their plate, and this is continuing. This could be the beginning of some mental health difficulties. Now, I don't want anyone to panic, but just to monitor things and pay attention to this behavior over time. The second area where we can see some changes is in the area of challenging behaviors. So some people with Prader-Willi syndrome may show more challenging behaviors or even new behaviors that look like related to agitation or aggression, and these could be an early warning sign of mental health issues. This might look like your loved one being much more talkative to others or even to themselves. Keep in mind that lots of people with Prader-Willi syndrome do talk to themselves as a way of processing the world or to self-soothe. I know when my daughter was young, when she would come home from school, she would play school. She was the teacher and all of her imaginary friends were the students, and there were quite extensive conversations going on. This really isn't a reason for concern. It's actually fairly typical among children and in particular people with Prader-Willi syndrome. But what you might notice is that the amount of talking would be much greater. And if you ask them about their talking, or if you listen to the self-talk, it may be more negative. You may hear them talk about people don't like me or people are mad at me. And conversely, some people with Prader-Willi syndrome will start to be more withdrawn than usual.
If my loved one is generally talkative and usually is wants to go out and do things, if they're now spending more time alone, could this be a sign?
Yes, for sure. This could be a sign. And another sign could be if they're just less willing to engage in activities they previously enjoyed. For example, saying no when you suggest going to the library, or they don't want to call their friend who they usually love to call and talk to. They are saying no if you ask them to go to the movies. One of the caregivers I interviewed shared a story about her daughter's friend was having an open house. I think it was around the holidays. And normally this was an activity that she looked forward to going to every year, but this one year she didn't want to go. And that was in the context of a bunch of other changes indicative of some mental health challenges developing. Another area where you might see some changes that you want to pay attention to is sleep. And this is really common across all kind of populations in terms of mental health. You often do see changes in sleep. But people with Prader-Willi syndrome tend to be very good sleepers. if there are impending mental health issues, you may find that they are sleeping even more, especially if there may be some depression going on, or you may find that they're sleeping less. So you see a real change in their sleep pattern.
So getting up more at night or earlier in the morning, or perhaps napping more than usual during the day, these could all be warning signs.
Right. Our study found that most people with Prader-Willi do sleep a lot, greater than 9 hours a night, and they nap every day if they can. But when they started having mental health issues, there were changes in this pattern. So parents talked about that their kids were up more at night, kind of wandering around up and down at night. They talked about kids getting up even earlier in the morning or not wanting to nap and kind of being agitated. So again, these are things to pay attention to. And again, you want to look for changes in their typical sleep pattern that lasts for over a week or more. The final sign I want to talk about is grooming. Change in grooming behavior can be indicative of a mental health issue.
So if your loved one is not showering or changing clothes or not brushing their hair or their teeth, that would be a decline in grooming, but only if they were previously doing this independently.
Yes, this could definitely be a sign of some mental health issues on the horizon. And what you would see is a decreased ability for them to care for themselves. Again, if your child, you know, had been pretty good at sort of getting up and brushing their teeth and washing their face and getting dressed and doing their hair and all that stuff, you know, with minimal prompting, but now they need to be prompted and kind of carried through every step of their self-care, this could be an issue. And again, we want to keep in mind it's a change from their baseline behavior. You know, a lot of teenagers and young adults, which is where we tend to see more of the mental health issues, but a lot of teenagers and young adults at a baseline might not be that great at grooming. A lot of teenagers don't like to shower or brush their teeth. So if that was what you were already seeing, that's not necessarily a reason for concern. But again, if you have a child or a loved one who was pretty good at doing their hair in a particular way or getting ready in a particular way, and you see changes in that, that could be, a sign to pay attention to. The other thing I heard was in some cases, although this is not as common, but can be an issue, is there may be an increased preoccupation with grooming. So this would be a child who is showering or washing their hands excessively or changing their clothes repeatedly throughout the day. This could be indicative of a change in mental health.
We've talked a lot about changes from baseline or changes from a person's typical behavior. With COVID-19, all of our lives have been turned upside down. How do we know whether the changes we're seeing in our loved ones are indicative of a change in mental health, or if it's simply our loved one's way of adjusting to our new normal?
This is a great question, very timely, of course. You know, when there are external things that are different, it can really be hard to separate that out. That's why it is important to look at these changes in behavior in context of what else is going on and to monitor them over time. Watch to see if the behaviors continue over a week or 2 weeks. I mean, after a few weeks of this kind of sheltering in place and the new normal, most of our kids can settle into a somewhat new routine. Given the current stressors, though, of our current situation, it is probably very helpful to institute a schedule or a routine that your loved one with Prader-Willi syndrome can follow each day that might be calming for them, and then monitor to see if the behaviors improve. If they don't and you're still seeing this real change from baseline, then there might be more reason to seek an outside opinion from a healthcare professional.
So if you think you've identified a decline in mental health, what should you do?
So if you're noticing changes in a few areas, or in the areas, I should say, of eating, behavior, sleep, or grooming, and you notice these changes for greater than 1 or 2 weeks, and the change is not in the context of physical illness, that's a lot of caveats, it's probably worth taking your child in for a medical assessment with their primary care doctor. If your child or your loved one already has a mental health provider, it would be good to check in with them as well to see if they can assess your child. And here are a few tips to think about as you go through the process of having your loved one evaluated by a healthcare professional. First and foremost, I heard over and over again, especially from the mental health experts who are physicians, to make sure that a thorough assessment is done to rule out any potential medical causes of the behavior change. Our loved ones with Prader-Willi syndrome can have some unusual symptoms of infection or illness or even medication reactions. So you want to make sure that the healthcare professional is carefully looking at all of these possible issues, as well as potentially an undiagnosed sleep disorder, which can in some people cause psychiatric symptoms. Most of us know who have a loved one with Prader-Willi syndrome that if our child is sick with a cold or the flu, they may start to show some behavior changes for a few days before they get sick. Again, for this reason, it's suggested that you monitor these changes for longer than a few days to see if they persist. The second thing that was strongly recommended through the interviews is to provide your doctor with information about mental health issues in Prader-Willi syndrome. And on the link on the FPWR website, there will be some attachments and information you can download regarding this, as well as the one pager or one and a half pager that summarizes what we're talking about today. And the third idea is, if warranted, you can also ask your child's healthcare provider to seek a peer-to-peer consultation with PWSA USA for mental health concerns. So they have a system set up where your physician can call them and connect them with one of the mental health experts to get some advice regarding assessment and treatment.
Given the challenges of in-person visits currently due to COVID-19, do you have suggestions for how our families can receive assessment and treatment if warranted?
So that's a great question. And again, things are rapidly changing in this arena. One of the things I think whenever there's anything new going on is to start with your loved one's primary care doctor. If they don't have a good primary care doctor, put some effort into finding one. I think that's a really important thing for us all to have, because they're sort of the quarterback who oversees treatment and assessment and someone who knows your loved one. Again, it's really good for your loved one to be seen by someone who knows them, so they can also kind of assess whether this seems to be a change from previous interactions with that person. Going in to see a doctor in person right now is kind of challenging. Most clinics are seeing people in person for emergency and urgent visits. So if your child's having mental health issues, it could be considered an urgent or emergency situation, people will see you in person. But many clinics are also beginning to see patients through telemedicine. So there will likely be more opportunities for this kind of visit in the coming weeks. And some of these mental health issues really are things that probably could be assessed well through telemedicine. Another resource for families could be some of the Prader-Willi clinics. There are various states in the across the country that have clinics devoted to Prader-Willi, and they may be able to provide some guidance and resources.
Can your primary care physician prescribe the medications to treat mental health challenges?
Some of them can. It depends on their comfort level and experience. Again, some primary care doctors will feel comfortable prescribing these types of medications. But if there is a need to assess and treat more serious psychiatric symptoms that might be reflective of bipolar symptoms or psychosis conditions, your loved one will most likely need to see a psychiatrist, but you can work with your primary care doctor to find a psychiatrist if you don't have one. And you may also consider asking your primary care doctor, your loved one's primary care doctor, or psychiatrist who is evaluating your child to again work with one of the PWS experts as needed to help guide appropriate assessment and treatment of the symptoms. Because there really are some very unique issues related to not only assessing mental health issues in Prader-Willi syndrome, but also choosing appropriate treatments.
People with PWS could respond differently to medications than the typical population. Are there any guidelines in place for beginning medications?
Yeah, as I was mentioning above, there are some unique issues in this area, and I did hear this repeatedly, particularly from the mental health experts, that using medication in Prader-Willi syndrome, you need to be very careful. It can be incredibly helpful and useful if you get the appropriate medication at the right dosage. But the golden rule for using medications in Prader-Willi syndrome, especially for psychiatric issues, is to start low, so low dose, and go slow, which means increase the dose very, very slowly. What we found, and I heard over and over from families and from mental health experts in Prader-Willi syndrome, is that people with PWS can respond to even low doses of medication, and they may also have unusual and unexpected side effects. Another thing I heard is helpful is to, before you start a medication or change a medication treatment, or even start a non-medication treatment like counseling or some other intervention, to identify a couple of target behaviors that you are wanting to address and figure out a way to track those behaviors. This way you can see if the medication or other treatment is improving the behaviors of concern or worsening them, or there's no change. Behaviors you could track could include tantrums, and you can just simply count the number per day. You could track sleep, looking at the number of hours the person with Prader-Willi staying in bed or the number of times they're getting up at night, especially if that's a new behavior you're concerned about. Of course, you could look at eating behavior, and I think most Prader-Willi parents are really good at monitoring this at a baseline themselves. You could also look at whether the person is grooming better, behaving in grooming behaviors better, or levels of agitation or anxiety. And you can kind of go a real simple low-tech approach with just tracking whatever the behaviors you're interested in on paper, tallying up at the end of the day, or you could use a digital behavior app. Another important issue to keep in mind is ask the doctor how quickly the medication works, so you know when you might expect changes. There are some medications that work right away, you know, often the sedative medications are those given for kind of acute anxiety. You might see an effect again within a few hours or less, but many of the other medications may take a couple of days or even a couple of weeks to see an impact. So do ask about that so you will know what to expect. Another point about medications, I am not a physician and I do not prescribe, so I want to give that caveat, but I heard over and over again from the expert healthcare professionals and families that I interviewed that if there are serious psychiatric symptoms such as possible hallucinations or symptoms of mania, don't wait too long to try medications and get an assessment. I know it's scary to think about using some of these types of medications, but as we found in the study, they really can be very helpful. Families mentioned this several times. Some families noted that they wish they had tried something sooner. And one of the advantages of kind of getting treatment sooner rather than later is it can prevent further declines in functioning for our loved ones with Prader-Willi syndrome, as well as reduce the social and community impacts of mental health symptoms for our loved one with Prader-Willi syndrome.
So let's talk about some special considerations when thinking about serious mental health issues in people with PWS. We know that people with PWS by UPD have a very high risk for psychiatric symptoms, but people with the deletion subtype also have an elevated risk compared to the typical population.
Yes, although most of the families I interviewed in my study had loved ones with the UPD genetic subtype, about a third of the sample had loved ones with the deletion subtype. And many of them mentioned to me that they were surprised that their child had some serious psychiatric issues because their understanding was that this was really only an issue for the UPD subgroup. So again, both groups have a elevated risk of mental health issues. UPD is significantly higher, but deletion subgroup also has a higher rate than the typical population. The other thing I heard repeatedly from the people I interviewed were that people with Prader-Willi syndrome are highly stress sensitive. Even seemingly small changes in their environment or life, which might cause mild distress in our typical children or ourselves, can be huge stressors for our kids with Prader-Willi syndrome.
Right. I've heard many examples of stressors such as siblings moving out, a change of school, or at a day program, or even a change of a caregiver can cause really high levels of stress.
Yeah, I heard repeatedly the situation of a sibling moving out and going to college as sometimes a trigger for mental health issues. I think one of the things that parents said is helpful is to make sure that your child with or your young adult with Prader-Willi also has something to look forward to in their life as a next step after high school. That's a whole nother podcast, but that was something that was mentioned several times. Also, illness in a close relative can be a trigger, even school holidays sometimes, and certainly the loss of a pet, which can be quite sad and difficult for our loved ones with Prader-Willi syndrome who tend to be very connected to their animals. So that can be a significant trigger as well. And these events, these kind of stress triggers, have the potential to cause psychiatric symptoms, including hearing voices, psychosis, and symptoms of depression in our loved ones with Prader-Willi syndrome. But as I mentioned previously, many of the families indicated that these symptoms are successfully treated with the use of appropriate medications.
Lauren, people with PWS often talk to themselves and talk to imaginary friends. So how do we know when we should be concerned?
So generally, talking to oneself for people with Prader-Willi syndrome is not anything to be concerned about. It's really their way of processing the world and their day-to-day experiences. But if the amount of talking seems to dramatically increase, or their imaginary quote-unquote friend starts being scary or mean, this is concerning and would warrant assessment by a healthcare professional. It's important to note that sometimes the symptom of hearing voices is temporary and related to an acute stressful situation and just needs monitoring by you and your child's physician. But other times medication is warranted, especially if the symptom of hearing voices or the imaginary friend being mean is causing distress or fear in your loved one. So again, regardless of whether treatment is indicated, it is good to get this checked out if you're noticing this in your child. And finally, a final point is that if the person with Prader-Willi syndrome goes to the emergency room or gets hospitalized for anything, be aware, hospital settings often do not understand food issues and Prader-Willi syndrome. Hospital staff, therefore, will need a lot of education about managing food and food security for the person with Prader-Willi syndrome in the hospital setting. And you can access information about this online or bring any of the medical alerts or other information about the severity and intensity of hyperphagia in Prader-Willi syndrome, which I think can be challenging for those kind of outside this area to understand.
We wanted to end today's podcast with a few things to remember as a parent. What are some final thoughts you have for us caregivers?
The first thing is to take care of yourself. Some of you, hopefully many of you, listened to the podcast that we did a week or two ago about self-care. There are some different ideas for helping to work on that, especially given our current stressful environment. One of the things that we know is our kids with Prader-Willi syndrome, our loved ones, are very connected to their caregivers and parents, and they also absorb our stress. So if we're doing better, we're taking care of ourselves, we're calmer and getting sleep, our children do better. There are also multiple resources on our website that might be helpful that discuss self-care for Prader-Willi parents, as well as mindfulness, which can be a really great strategy to use during this stressful time. Another idea that came up in the interviews that many of the parents suggested is to get a team together to kind of help you through the process of coping with and managing mental health challenges in your loved one with Prader-Willi syndrome. Many of the families I spoke to said it's helpful to partner with someone who can help you manage these issues in your child. Often this will be your spouse, but if not, find a friend who can be that person for you or other Prader-Willi parent who can be your partner through this and help you make decisions, think through things, be a sounding board, and listen to you vent when needed. I think that can be really helpful. Parents also told me during this study that the treatments for serious mental health issues really can be helpful if you get the right medication for your loved one and you figure out how to reduce some of the events and situations that are causing them some stress, as we talked about earlier. Many of the parents mentioned, I was afraid after my child started struggling with serious mental health issues that they wouldn't ever be the same again, that they wouldn't come back to me. But after getting the right treatment and some time passing, many parents found that they did come back. One parent said, your sweet, funny kid is still in there and they'll come back to you with time and getting the right treatment. So I really want to leave on that kind of hopeful note. A final word on this topic, mental health. It's a hard topic, and it can be a really difficult reality of Prader-Willi syndrome. I remember when my daughter was first born, reading about the hyperphagia seemed difficult enough, and then adding on the serious mental health issues that could happen during the adolescent and young adult years just felt very overwhelming. It is really a difficult reality for us as parents to face. This is one of the reasons really why I wanted to study this. But as challenging as this situation can be, there is reason to be hopeful. Our loved ones do respond to treatments, and we have some great dedicated professionals in our community, as well as wonderful parents who've been there and have successfully gotten through this and are eager to share their wealth of information. Feel really grateful to be part of this community and be able to benefit from others' experiences in this area.
Thank you, Lauren, for joining us today and sharing what to look for and steps to take in the treatment of mental health for our loved ones with PWS. Just as a reminder to everyone, everything that we have shared in today's podcast is available on our blog at fpwr.org, and we encourage you to check out our one-page download that summarizes the helpful information that Lauren shared today. This is also available on our website. We hope everyone is staying healthy and sane. Have a great rest of your day.